Well, it's my honor right now to have the man. Hails from Georgia. He's had his life changed. He's saved. He has got quite a testimony. He knew the Lord growing up early, but he strayed from the Lord. And got involved in drugs, selling drugs. And God interrupted his life again. God loves you. Even when you do wrong and you're doing bad, God isn't giving up on you. And God did not give up on Chris Brooks. And God helped him find his way again. And he serves the Lord with us. He's been with me for 10 years at Fellowship Church. Can you tell Mr. Chris Brooks you love him today? And you're happy to hear from him? Come on! Go get him, buddy. I'm normally away when he preaches, but this time I'm on the front row.
I'm excited. I don't know if I'm more excited or nervous.
Excited. Come on. Come on. Go get him, buddy. We love you. Say we love you.
Thank you. I feel loved here, guys. I don't know how else I'd be able to stand up here and do this if I didn't feel like I was in a church congregation that loved me. So thanks for loving me like that. Well, today I want to talk to you guys about prayer. There's a lot of misconceptions in the church about what it is and what it ain't. And, you know, sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we think we get it wrong. And that's going to kind of walk you through, you know, some of my personal experiences and what's going right for me and what works for me and what I know doesn't work for me. So I know if I struggle with it, there's a good chance at least one of y'all in here is struggling with it as well. The message is called Always On. The line's always open. We've got to stay connected to God through prayer. It's a gift he's given us. The creator of the universe lets us have conversations with him. He's not distant, and he's not far off, he's right here, he's personal, he's relational, and he wants to have that conversation with you, so let's keep that line open. So we're going to get into that today. So have you ever had that moment where you've been asked to pray in front of a group of people, and you weren't prepared, you didn't have like a prayer already ready to go, you weren't expecting it? It's funny, because you know that moment. You get nervous, your hands maybe they start sweating, everybody's standing there, you're hanging out, whatever, it's a Bible study, or it could be to pray over the offering or something like that. Somebody says, you know, brother or sister so-and-so, would you open us up in prayer or maybe close us down in prayer? Would you pray for the group? Now you're on the spot, right? You got to pray out loud. Suddenly your heart starts racing. Like I said, your hands get a little sweaty, and then you get up there and out comes this prayer voice that you didn't even know you had. Like, you don't talk like that, but all of a sudden you get asked to pray, and it's,
Heavenly Father, we come before thee on this most glorious occasion.
Who talks like that? Meanwhile, 5 seconds ago, you were just talking about football and how high the gas prices are and, you know, what you're going to have for lunch later. But we got to get all proper, and it's funny that we think that prayer requires this completely different version of ourselves, right? It's funny to me, because for many Christians, prayer might feel intimidating. You know, we worry about saying the right words, or we worry about sounding spiritual and high church enough, or we worry that we're going to do it wrong. This is our Father. It's hard to mess that up, just a conversation with him. Then we come to one of the shortest verses in the Bible, and we can always find encouragement, find God's true self and who he is. He's revealed himself to us through his scriptures. So one of the shortest verses in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Seems simple enough. It's three words. There's no complicated instructions. No back translations you got to go and study to see exactly what Paul was talking about there. Just pray continually. Pretty easy, right? It sounds impossible. So Paul, what you're telling me is like all the time, as long as I'm awake, anything I'm doing all day, how can I pray all the time, continually? Do I quit my job? Do I need to go join a monastery, become a monk, and just hum and pray all day? Go stand at the Wailing Wall and all day just pray the whole time I'm awake. Walk around with my eyes closed. Paul, how am I supposed to do this? I pray continually all the time. You know, what does that look like? That sounds kind of impossible. That's not what Paul's saying. He's not saying none of that. Today I want us to discover something freeing. This doesn't have to hold us down. This doesn't have to chain us up. Prayer is not about performing for God. You're not putting on a performance. You're staying connected to Him. You're developing this relationship with Him. It's just like your phone status is always connected to them. Who's got their cell phone on them this morning? I hope they're on silent. I hope they're on silent. Some of y'all at home, keep looking at the phone. Don't turn me off. But you're always connected to that network, right? Your Verizon, your AT&T, T-Mobile, whoever, you're connected to the cell phone tower. That connection's always there all day long. God invites us to have that connection with Him, just like you're connected through your cell phone. He's always on. I've struggled with consistent prayer in my life. As long as I've been walking with the Lord, not just once, not just for a season, multiple times. You know, you'll get a plan going, you'll have a moment, you'll go to a men's ministry trip or something, and I'll be convinced to myself that I'm a prayer warrior. You know, I can do this, I can pray without ceasing. I'm a strong in my prayer life. You know, I hear a powerful sermon. Like I said, I do a men's ministry thing. Read a great book. I get inspired, right? And then I'll think to myself, you know, starting tomorrow, I'm going to dedicate one full hour. Whether it's in the morning or before bed, I'm going to dedicate one full hour to prayer. I'm just going to spend a whole hour in prayer with God. Day one, amazing. Day two, doing pretty good. Day three, 20 minutes. Day four, 10 minutes. Day five, Lord bless this food, amen, let's eat. And then I think to myself, boy, if I were a better Christian, I'd pray more. Or if I really loved God, that's it, I wouldn't struggle. If I really loved Him, I wouldn't struggle here. Or if I were more spiritual, prayer would just come more naturally. The enemy loves those thoughts, those lies. I can't talk to God. I'm not good enough. I'm not doing it right. I'm not saying the right things. The enemy loves that. Because if he can't stop us from praying entirely, he'll convince you that you're failing at it. Don't believe him. That's all he's got is a lie. All we got to do is not believe him. Maybe some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what this feels like. You start praying and your mind wanders. You get distracted. You forget what it was you were going to pray about. You feel inconsistent in your prayers. Or you can start comparing yourself to somebody who just seems like it comes effortless and eloquent, and they can just say, oh, so-and-so, pastor, is such a great prayer. I wish I could pray more like Gary, you know. And before long, prayer just feels like another thing that you're failing at. But what if the problem isn't that we're bad at prayer? What if we've just misunderstood what prayer actually is? Jesus addressed this issue directly. The disciples came to him. His prayer life was great. All through the Bible, you see him. He goes off into the wilderness to spend time with his father. Jesus is always praying before and after. He's always talking to his father, right? So the disciples ask him, you know, Lord, well, we see you praying all the time. Will you teach us to pray? And in Matthew 6:7, he says, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. They think that they'll be heard for their many words. So it's not about our big words. It's not about how long the prayer is. It's not about that, right? It's about your heart, about your posture, about your relationship with your Heavenly Father. So let's notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say long prayers are bad. He didn't say that a prepared prayer is bad, you know, repeating the Lord's Prayer or whatever. He's not saying that that's bad. He said, don't think that God's attention is earned by impressive words. You're not going to earn his attention because you used big high church words, really, you sounding really spiritual. You call out all the names of God that you can come up with in your head before you actually start asking him for anything. Right? God's not grading our vocabulary, guys. He's not impressed by some religious performance. And if you saw the way he treated the religious people of his time when he came as a man, that proves that. He's not impressed by our religiousness. Sometimes we act like prayer is a speech competition. We think just because we sound spiritual enough, then God will listen. Now we got his attention. You know the voice I'm talking about, right? You guys know the fake fancy prayer voice that we all get. I say all of us. I know it's me. I'm sure somebody else in here struggles with it. But nobody talks like that normally. Nobody talks like that normally.
Father, we beseech thee this moment.
Guys, we don't say beseech at Walmart. Okay? Nobody goes to Starbucks and gets them a cup of coffee and orders coffee that way.
Oh, good sir, I beseech you thee for one medium roast.
Why do we got to talk to God that way? That's our Heavenly Father. Jesus called him Abba, Daddy. He wants that relationship with you. He wants you to talk to him like that. And somehow we think God prefers the version of us that don't even exist. We've got to put this mask on and put this costume on and play church before the King of the Universe like we have to come that way. Now, going to God in reverence, trust me, is very important, okay? We need to fear the Lord. We need to come to him in reverence. But we don't have to be plastic, guys. We don't have to be fake with him. That's your Heavenly Father. He loves you. So Jesus tells this parable in Luke 18, and I won't read the whole thing, but it's basically there was a widow who needed justice. Somebody had done her wrong, and so she kept going to the judge in town. Now, this judge feared neither God nor man. This was not a God-fearing judge, just a regular, worldly judge. And she kept coming to him, hey, I need justice. Somebody's done me wrong, I need justice. He'd turn her away, she'd come back again. I want justice for what has been done wrong to me. Now this judge that, like I said, didn't fear God nor man, finally was like, look, if this lady's just going to keep being persistent, then I'll just go ahead and we'll just go ahead and give her the justice she's seeking. Basically, so she'll leave me alone. And then Jesus comes in and says, where are we at? Verse 6. The Lord said, Jesus said, hear what the unrighteous just what the unrighteous judge says, right? The unrighteous judge on the earth was like, if she's going to keep coming to me, we're just going to go ahead and give her justice anyway. So Jesus was like, will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Doesn't he love you more than that unrighteous judge loved that widow woman? And he gave her justice. Won't your God in heaven come and give you what you asked for when you cry to him day and night? You're his elect. You're his loved. So pray, don't give up. Always pray. Not perform. We're not putting on a show for God. We're not trying to impress him. Right? We're not entertaining him. We're just having a relationship with him. We're walking with him and talking with him. That's what I wanted to do in the garden this morning. Because that's what he's called us to do, to pray, to walk with him, talk with him, live with him. Be aware that he's there. So pray. Because prayer is our relationship. That conversation is our relationship. Think about your closest friend, your spouse maybe. Imagine if every conversation sounded like a formal speech.
Oh, greetings, esteemed companion. I wish to communicate my gratitude regarding yesterday's fellowship.
Y'all talk to your friends like that? No, I don't either. Jesus called me his friend, though, so we should talk to him like he's our friend. Relationships thrive through genuine communication, not fake plastic put on a show. God wants genuine communication from us, too. The moment we stop trying to impress God is often the moment that prayer becomes real. We stop trying to put on a show, and all of a sudden prayer becomes real. And that line is always on. He's always there. You can always talk to him. Service doesn't drop We don't hit a hole and where we don't have service, oh, I'll call you back. So I had a breakthrough. I struggled in my prayer life. I would be on fire. I've got this. I'm going to pray for an hour and then I would taper off. But for me, the breakthrough came when I stopped viewing prayer as an event, a thing on my schedule that I needed to do. And viewing it as that connection, that prayer is a connection. It's a conversation. It's a connection with God. And I realized something. The most meaningful conversations in my life weren't scheduled. It's a random text message. It's conversations back and forth with my wife. It's, you know, some of my best friends. It's not a scheduled thing. And I realized that I should talk to God that way, right? So from my, you know, best friend, my wife, whatever, a quick text, a phone call, a check-in, hey, how you doing? Hey, just to remind you, Jesus is Lord. It's an ongoing connection. So those relationships and my most meaningful connection relationships that I have in my life, that's what they look like. So shouldn't even more my relationship with God be like that? Shouldn't I be checking in with him at random times during the day like I do my wife and my friends? So suddenly I started seeing prayer differently. Instead of feeling guilty because I wasn't praying for an uninterrupted hour, I just started talking to God throughout the day. Just all day, throughout the day, at random times. Driving to work. Lord knows you need to talk to him when you're on the road. Walking through a store, you know, going to Publix, going to Walmart. Before a meeting. Lord knows, God, help me in this meeting. After receiving good news. Lord, hey, this is great. Praise you. You know, during stressful moments or in moments of gratitude, moments of frustration, before and after. I stopped trying to perform and I started to learn to connect. To have that ongoing conversation with him, and something changed. Prayer became less of a burden and more of a blessing. It's not something I have to perform and, I forgot. No, it's not a burden anymore. I just know he's there. I can just start talking to him. Right? It's less of a duty and more of a relationship, which is what he wants. It's less of a religious requirement. And it's more of a lifeline, a lifestyle even. The pressure disappeared. You know, I'm not under pressure. I don't feel like I'm underperforming. I don't feel like I'm failing. Because I realize God loves me. He just wants to talk to me. He just wants to hear from me. I realize God's not waiting for me to give him some perfect speech. He's inviting me into an ongoing conversation. He's always on. He's always there. Open line. So it's like having your phone on speakerphone the whole time. Or I won't say her name, but if you said your assistant's name and she just lights up, and you can talk to your phone kind of thing. It's like that with God. He's always on. He's always listening. Let's go into Philippians 4:6. Paul said, do not be anxious about anything. So be anxious about how many things? Nothing. Don't be anxious for anything. But in everything. In how many things?
Everything.
In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That peace comes over you. It's not a burden anymore. I'm not failing at this. In everything. Through prayer and supplication, bring your requests unto God. Not just church situations, not just crisis situations, every situation. God's not your lifeboat. Don't just call him when you need a life raft. He wants to walk with you before you ever got to the point of needing a life raft. When anxiety shows up, pray. When gratitude shows up, pray. When the confusion shows up and you're unsure, pray. When excitement shows up and something you're happy about and proud of, pray. It becomes the first response instead of your last resort. You're already prepared. You don't need to say, God, oh, what do I do now? I need a life raft. No, you've already been talking and walking with him through this till you get to this point and you already know what you need to do. You're already engaged. Romans 8:26 gives us more encouragement. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That is awesome. Because when I'm down and I'm weak and I feel like I can't make it, the Spirit helps us. He just wants to hear from you. You got to talk to Him. We don't know what to pray for. He intercedes on our behalf. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. That is good news. I mean, we don't have to do it on our own. Because we all have weaknesses. All of us have moments when we don't know what to say. We all have moments where our prayers feel messy. But the Holy Spirit meets us there. And that's where He starts to do His work in us. Prayer doesn't require perfection. He's going to bring that maturity, that perfection in us. It just requires participation. It just requires us to pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Lord, this is to me." In Psalm 55:17, David said, "Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and He hears my voice." Notice that rhythm there. Morning, noon, evening. David knew he was going to have to stay connected to God. It wasn't just because he was being religious. He wasn't checking off boxes. It was because he knew he needed to stay connected. Go back and read David's story again, all that he went through. Tell me he didn't need to pray continually. So what if our continuous prayer looked like this? You wake up. "Lord, thank you for another day." You're heading to work. "God, help me represent you well today." When you're driving in the truck, driving in your car, talk to Him. You face a difficult conversation. You know you're about to have to deal with that customer, or that coworker, or somebody that's a pain. Talk to God. "Lord, give me wisdom. Help me deal with this person today." You make it through that conversation with that pain person that you knew you was going to have to deal with, and everything went well and it went to your advantage. Talk to Him again. "Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that this ended up being a blessing for me." Let's say you screwed it up and you ended up blessing the person out that gets on your nerves. After the conversation, "Lord, I guess I messed that up. I'm going to need you to forgive me. Show me where I can grow from that." Before you go to bed, "Lord, thank you for carrying me through another day." Stay that. Keep that rhythm, guys. You guys starting to see that morning, noon, evening. As you go, continually praying. It's not complicated, guys. We make it complicated. He don't. It's connection. He wants that connection with us. It's living with this awareness that God is present. He's always with us. He's always there. We need to be intentionally aware of that. We don't have to clean it up. We don't have to get our minds right. We don't have to get our speech so perfect. He's just there. He's always there. He's ever present. He wants that relationship with you. The line, it's always open. It's always on. God created you in His image and in His likeness. And there's a pretty good chance He made you that way because he figured you'd be somebody He'd like to hang out with. So spend a little bit of time with Him. That's all He wants. And this is going to take a mindset shift. And here's the shift that I want everybody to work on today. This is for me. Just so y'all know, when I get up here and preach, this is usually something I'm working on, I'm struggling with. And I'm like, "Hey, I bet somebody else in the church needs to hear this." So stop thinking prayer is something I do. Start thinking prayer is how I live. It's not a scheduled activity. "Okay, Lord, I got you down for 8:30 on Tuesday." Right? It's a posture of the heart. It's living in a constant awareness of God's presence. He's always right there. It's recognizing that every moment, it becomes an opportunity for that conversation. Every moment, good or bad, it's an opportunity for you to open up that conversation with your Heavenly Father. This week, I'm going to challenge you with one simple practice. This is what I'm going to be practicing, so I figured I'd put it out to y'all and challenge you guys to try it this week. Whenever something captures your attention, whatever it is, turn it into a prayer. Okay? We live in Southwest Florida. It's not hard to find something beautiful. A sunset, the beach. You know, you see something beautiful, thank God. You feel stressed. You're probably going to feel stressed this week, guys. I hate to break it to you. Talk to God about it. You feeling uncertain? Ask God for wisdom. That's something He said He'd give to us freely if we'd ask Him. Why don't we ask Him? Why do we feel like we got to be fancy about it? You know, whatever enters your mind, it can become an invitation into a conversation. So anything that grabs your attention this week, guys, pray about it. Thank God for it. Ask God to help you with it. Make prayer your first response instead of your last resort. If you practice that consistently, you'll realize that prayer becomes woven into your life every day. It's just your normal everyday life. It just becomes natural. Just to talk to Him. Thank Him. Ask Him for help. Ask Him for wisdom. So as we close, start wrapping it up here, I'm going to go back to where we started. That awkward moment when somebody asked you to pray in public. You'll probably still feel nervous after my message today. You'll probably still get some butterflies. Your heart might start racing. You might still stumble over your words a little bit. Maybe you'll accidentally find that fancy prayer voice again. And that's okay. But remember, He's not listening for perfection. God's not waiting for a performance. He doesn't want the fake version of you that you're trying to clean up and present to Him. He's listening for you. He created you just like you are because you're probably a person He'd like to hang out with. The God who created the universe isn't waiting for polished speeches. He's inviting you into connection, a one-on-one relationship, talking with Him daily. Keep that conversation going. Don't just schedule it for 8:30 at night and then don't talk to Him again. The line is open, guys. Imagine if we went through life in some of our other meaningful relationships, some of our best friends, our spouses, and the only conversation we had, like I told my wife, what if the only conversation I had with you was, honey, I really thank you for the dinner. I hope you have a good night. And then I don't talk to her again until tomorrow. How good do you think that relationship would be? So why do we treat God like that? Why do we feel like just when I wake up or just before I go to bed, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. Amen. That's the only conversation you have with a God who loves you, who created you in His image and His likeness, who gave His Son so that He could spend eternity with you. That's why He came as a man. That's why He became the propitiation. That's why. Because He wants to be with us. He created us because He wants that relationship with us. The invitation is ongoing, guys. He wants to talk to you. And then listen to Him. Sometimes a lot of us get real wordy. You know, we'll talk. Sometimes we need to stop and meditate. Just hang out in His presence for a minute and let Him talk back. His presence available every moment of every day, not just in church, every moment, every day. So this week, don't focus on praying perfectly, okay? Focus on staying connected, keeping that line open. Remember, we're not submitting a work order here. We're talking to our Heavenly Father. You know, the non-believers, the atheists and stuff of this world, they try to make fun of us and be like, oh, you talk to your sky daddy? Yeah, you dang right. I'm talking to my sky daddy. He loves me. And of course I'm talking to my sky daddy. It's not a performance, guys. It's a connection. It's a relationship. Prayer. Stay connected. It's not about finding the perfect words. Okay? Don't feel like you're failing because you didn't use big enough vocabulary, okay? It's not about finding perfect words. It's about walking with a perfect Savior. He wants to walk with you and talk with you and love you. When you learn to live connected to Him, you'll discover that prayer isn't something that we just occasionally visit. Once you learn to stay that connected, you'll realize it's a place you can just continually live. It becomes this habit that we just naturally do, because that's how we were created to be. So it feels right once you lean into it. So let's pray without ceasing, guys. Let's continue to pray. Man, y'all are quiet. So, that's it. It's always on, guys. The connection's always open. Pray without ceasing. You know, a lot of people, I ask what God's will is for their life, and Thessalonians 5:7 says, you know, to pray without ceasing. But before that, it says to rejoice always. And then after that, it says to be thankful. Everything in thanks. So rejoice, pray without ceasing, and be thankful to God. For that is His will in Christ Jesus for your life. That's it. Thanks for being in church this morning, guys. Keep that connection open. And praise God. Amen.